Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
We'll discuss the passing of Bobby Cox, who can slow down the Hurricanes, and the upcoming NBA draft. But we begin today's show with the NBA playoffs, because that's still going on.
Yeah.
LeBron James was sent packing earlier this week as the OKC City Thunder easily swept the Lakers in four games. LeBron, Tatum, Joker, Giannis, KD, and Steph Curry will not be featured in any more playoff games this year. Is that good or bad for the National Basketball Association?
In terms of bringing casual fans to the screen, the answer is it's terrible for the NBA. Because these players have name recognition. You know, they have cachet, they have gravitas, they have a following. Because even if you're not a diehard NBA fan, you've heard of Steph Curry. Right? You might have seen Space Jam 2 with LeBron. You might know of KD. Who's left? Wemby. That's great. That's great internationally for the NBA. Anthony Edwards. Flashy. They want him to be the face. Or they want him to be one of the faces of the league. I don't know if he could pull it off, but the NBA would be very happy if he was one of the faces of the league. Cade Cunningham, maybe an up-and-comer, not quite there yet. Right? James Harden, name recognition, but he's long in the tooth. Donovan Mitchell doesn't really rate. As good of a basketball player as Donovan Mitchell is, he's not a needle mover. Wasn't in Utah, isn't with the Cavs. Sorry. And then there's Jalen Brunson. Could do it. I kind of put him kind of in the situation where people will tune in, but it's not because of Jalen Brunson. It's because the Knicks haven't won in fucking 50 years. You know, that's the story. It's not Jalen Brunson's ascension to greatness. It's, can the Knicks finally fucking win something? Pretty pleased with sugar on top. And then that leaves you with the Thunder, right? You have Shai Alexander, Williams, Holmgren. They brought it to the table last year. Are we looking at a budding dynasty, and is that something that will bring eyeballs and bring attention to the NBA? I don't know if they're compelling enough personalities. They go, they play ball. You know, that's great for a fan of the game. I don't know if that's the case beyond it. But in terms of who's left, and from an outside looking in, I gotta say I'm most intrigued by Wemby of everybody else that's left, because he was supposed to be the next big thing, and he has delivered on that hype to some degree. He just needs to get to that next level. I think that the NBA at this point needs the Spurs to go to the finals. They need the Spurs there, and they actually need a rematch at 99. I think they need Spurs-Knicks. I think Spurs-Knicks is going to do it. Pistons, either matchup? No. Cavs, either matchup? No. I think if you're Adam Silver and you inject him with truth serum, you want the biggest market left. And you want the biggest superstar left. And that's the Spurs and the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that what the NBA is rooting for here is they're rooting for the Knicks and the Spurs, and they're rooting probably for the Knicks to win. That would be the NBA's goal. Thunder repeating against a Cavs team against the Pistons team, that's not going to get it done. Now, Oklahoma City against the Knicks is interesting, but I mean, you have no superstar. You got no superstar in there.
Right.
You know, you got to see Wemby get there, whether he wins or loses. You know,
what about the Cat trade? I didn't even mention the T-Wolves. Like, do we want the T-Wolves Knicks to see the fruition of the Cat trade? Is that another budding storyline? Does anybody want to see that?
I don't think anybody cares. I mean, no, I just don't think anybody cares. It's because really, when you think about it, and we were going to talk about this anyway, but to me, it's a wash. That trade's a wash. Like, if anything, the Knicks did the Wolves a favor, right? Because I think the Knicks get there with Julius Randle anyway in this team. Karl Anthony Towns is, what is he really, when he plays, yeah. But he doesn't play like he's supposed to play all the time. You did the Wolves a favor because it wasn't working in Minnesota. Like, it wasn't working, okay? You give them DiVincenzo, which is an outstanding guard, right? A distributor of the basketball, a defender, a passer, Mr. Basketball Philadelphia, hello, right? And then you go and you take Anthony Towns. I mean, Karl Towns he's a good player, but I think the Knicks with DiVincenzo and Randle in a shitty Eastern Conference, right? Let's all be real. That Boston out, fucking Atlanta Hawks with without Trae Young, Jonathan Kuminga. Come on, what are we talking about here? 76ers, that bum team. That's a fucking bum team.
The Pistons got pushed by the Magic.
Right, the Pistons are the Pistons, right? Like, what are we talking about? The Pistons are the Pistons.
Yeah.
This is how bad the Eastern Conference was. The thing I want to go back to, though, is I really don't think the NBA is ready for this next era. I think Wemby's great, and he's fun to watch. I watched him play last night. It's pretty crazy how tall he is and his movement and humble, and he wants to win, hungry. But, man, that guy is like a jump or a skip or a slip away from being hurt. Like, you know, he's like a rail, you know? So you're going to put all your eggs in this basket and say, okay, he's French, he's the future, you know, because not that Joker's past his time. It's just like, I don't know what's going on in Denver. It's just like, it was embarrassing that they lost. They shouldn't have lost. They lost to the Timberwolves without their best player. Like, what are you doing?
They lost their starting backcourt. Neither one of them played.
Yeah.
Crazy,
right? And you can't beat them. You got blown the fuck out too at home, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Joker's good, but he's not the kind of superstar people rally behind, right? Wemby's a guy where you're like, wow, you watch it play, and even Castle's fun. Stephon Castle's really good. They have a good young team that's kind of fun to watch, right?
Yeah.
But no, I don't know if the NBA is really ready for this next era, number one. And number two, the matchup is just it's just meh coming from the East outside of New York. New York will get heads and get attention, you know, But I think New York could probably beat the Spurs or push the Spurs. But as far as the Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't know, man. And even if they do get to the Eastern Conference, well, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals, but even playing the Pistons and the Cavs, you know, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. I think New York has a good chance. I think the Knicks have a good chance, but if they play the way they've been playing, sure, certainly. But, you know, I think this time off is going to hurt. And you got two teams that are really hot right now.
I just wonder, like, who's left that could actually neutralize a guy the size and skill level of Victor Wembanyama, right? Down low, you got, what, Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson. Like, are they equipped to handle what Wemby brings? Karl Anthony Towns is not a defensive player, right? You know, I don't see anybody really. I don't see anybody taking it to Wemby the way they need to take it to him. And it's going to be the case where, unless they're throwing doubles at him, like, he's easily going to take over every series he's in. Right? He has the talent, he has the ability to take over every series. And who is best equipped to neutralize him at this point in time? The Thunder could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Thunder have an answer for him. You know, they'll be ready to deal with him and everything he brings. On the Eastern Conference side, I don't think the Pistons, you know, the Pistons play physical.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be physical. So I think that helps. The Cavs, no. I don't see, because Donovan Mitchell's a little guy. He's only 6 feet tall. Yeah, like, no. How's he going to get to the basket with that dude lurking down there?
No, who's their big man,
James Harden, man? It's sad. It's fucking sad to watch James Harden play. I mean, yeah, he's done well the last two games, but my man is, like, out of shape. And, you know, he still can distribute the basketball. But, I mean, he turns it over sometimes. He's like, James, what are you doing? Like, who are you throwing to on this play? You know? It's almost like he's trying really hard. Kind of reminds me of, like, when I play now. It's like, yeah, I'm trying really hard, but me trying hard at 42 isn't the same as me trying hard at 22 or 32. Like, it just looks different. Like, it just, you know, there's sometimes where you're like, what the fuck were you just doing? And the other players are like, oh, wow, that was pretty damn good. How the hell did you do that? And even though you could still do that.
And the energy you need to expend to get to that point is a hell of a lot different than...
Oh, yeah.
That.
Forget about defense. James Harden ain't playing no fucking defense. Yeah. If you get by him, he's like, he's hitting your ass all the way to the goal. He's like, ah, go, go. You got me, man. Lay up.
You got me.
You got me.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
Yeah, we touched on this before. You know, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they took care of the Lakers in four games, and the New York Knicks took care of the 76ers in four games. In the Western Conference, the T-Wolves are down 3-2 to the Spurs. 2 years ago, the Wolves and the Knicks swapped big men and DiVincenzo. So if both teams make the finals, does that mean both teams won the trade?
Well, the Wolves are on back-to-back Western Conference Finals, if I'm not correct. Yeah, I believe that's the case. Yeah. And the Knicks have been in it except for injuries. And then, so both teams, this was a trade that favored both teams already. This is one of those basketball trades that seem to work out for both sides. Neither one has been ultimately successful because neither one's gotten the chip. But you could argue that both teams have already won the trade, and getting to the finals and seeing, like, which team comes through, that would just be the cherry on top, because you've built two perennial contenders, two top contenders in your respective conferences. The Knicks finally figured out how to unlock Cat. Turns out it was just fire Tom Thibodeau. And there you go. Like, that's it. Let Cat be Cat. And how to do that? Avoid defense. Fuck. Who cares about that shit? Yeah, just go, big man, go. Last year, he looked lost against the Pacers anyway. He's running across the court. Like, oh, shit. Like, there's Cat on defense for you. But ultimately, like, it was a good move getting rid of Julius Randle. Like, for the ups and downs, he wanted to be here, that he didn't want to be here, that he wanted to be here again. But just at that point, like, he was an asset. He got you a better player. DiVincenzo hurt. DiVincenzo hurt. He absolutely did. You had the thing going with the Villanova Knicks. So you had to give to get. And ultimately, they have retooled. You know, they brought in Bridges. You already had OG. You had the pieces there, rearranged a little bit, and now the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals. And once again, the Wolves are in it. So I think this is a trade that's already been decided. I think it's an A for both teams. And however long it takes them to win a championship, like, that's what's going to take it over the top. There's still a chance that neither one of them is going to win a championship, right? There's always that. So this could be one that keeps you in the mix, but never ultimately delivers you anything. So it remains to be seen. But this was already a home run for both teams based on the results so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think the trade made Minnesota more relevant. As you said, they got to two Western Conference Finals. So in my head, they really won the trade, because I don't think the Knicks needed to make this move. I think on paper, you're swapping pretty much the same player. You know, you get flashes of greatness, and then it's flashes of like, what are you doing? How do you go a whole half without scoring a point? You're a big man. Like, you know, that happens. That happens like that. Yeah. And granted, he's on this incredible run. They're playing well the last, I'd say, month? They've been playing really well.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that knows that there's another side to this coin where he disappears, he hangs out near the three-point line, he phantomly falls down when no one touches him, he complains with the refs. I've seen this other side of it. So to me, the Wolves won this trade because Cat just wasn't working in Minnesota. He works a lot better with you. He wasn't working in Minnesota. They weren't winning. He was there for a long time. Like, they weren't winning. They weren't getting over the hump. And now they bring in Julius Randle. They bring in DiVincenzo. You've got a guard who plays both ways. He can shoot. He's an NBA champion. Like I said, he was Mr. Basketball Philadelphia. Like, he is a great player. I do. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. So I think without this trade, the Knicks are still contenders. They're still in the hunt for the Eastern Conference Finals. It doesn't change Jalen Brunson's game. It doesn't change anything. But for Minnesota, you gave them a more versatile forward. You've given them a guard. You've given them a winner, a guy in a locker room that knows how to win, knows what to say, knows what to do. And again, they're up against the Spurs right now. They're down 3-2, but they can even up the series. They can get they beat the Denver Nuggets, and they didn't even have their backcourt. They didn't have Anthony Edwards. They didn't have DiVincenzo, and they still beat the Nuggets. That's impressive, man. So I'm of the camp of the Knicks really helped out the Timberwolves. And it means nothing for them. See, this means everything for the Timberwolves, right? Because they're relevant. They're in the Western Conference Finals. They're beating Denver. They're going toe-to-toe with Wemby. For the Knicks, if you don't win the NBA Finals, this doesn't mean anything. And I want to make this clear. A lot of Knicks fans seem to be in that Jets, that Jets Mets mindset. Oh, we just want to get there. We just want to. No. This is the time. Okay. The 76ers are down. Boston's down. You are up. There's no Trae Young in Atlanta. This is it. Okay. If you have the chance to get to these NBA finals, you need to make it worth it. It's not good enough to come in second. I don't care if you're facing Oklahoma City. I don't care if you're facing the Spurs. I don't care if you're facing the Timberwolves. There is no second place. This is it. You're not going to get years like this from Brunson. You're not going to keep getting these opportunities where teams are having down years. You're sweeping people out of the playoffs. You're scoring 140 points in a game. That shit just doesn't keep happening. Okay? The rest of the league is going to catch up. Injury bug is going to go away. Boston's going to stop just living and dying by the three. I'm just saying, like, this is it. And they need to treat it like this is it.
Well, we've been saying, if not now, when, right? But how many times have we said...
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm not saying that. That's something that we can save for Connor McDavid. I'm saying now. I'm saying now. It's not if not now, when. It's now. There is no ifs, Z. There's no ifs. This is it. In fact, that's the slogan. This is it. It's paved for you. You played a bullshit Hawks team. You played a trash 76ers team. You're going to face either the Cleveland Cavaliers or the fucking Detroit Pistons. Don't be losing to the Detroit Pistons. Don't lose to them. You go up against the Cavaliers and they beat you. They've had their number for a while. They've got Harden and Mitchell and Mobley. And okay, all right, goose six games, go seven games. You can see that. Don't be losing to the Pistons, man. Don't let the Detroit Pistons beat you in a seven-game series. There is no fucking excuses for that. I don't want to hear anything from anybody about that.
I don't know. You're losing to the number one team in the conference who beat you every game this past season. I think you have a little bit of an out there. Losing to the Cavs is a problem for me. Losing to the Cavs is a problem for me. They're the same. They're 4-5. They've been changing 4-5 for years. The Cavs and the Knicks have kind of been in an interchangeable position for a while. It's inexcusable to lose to them.
It's inexcusable to lose to either team. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want to hear it. If OG's hurt, that hurts. That I have to say, that's a problem. I mean, OG's been playing unbelievable.
OG's banged up.
He's banged up. And he's always banged up, though, right? He's always banged up coming around playoff line. There's no Miami Heat. Like, there's nobody here stopping you. Don't let the Pistons or the Cavs be the reason you don't get the NBA Finals. Don't let Victor Wembanyama and his first time getting to the Finals oust you. Okay? You go up against Oklahoma City Thunder, no one's gonna say anything. They're a defending champion. They know how to win. Oh, you know what? Hats off to them if they beat you in five games or six games. What could we say? But I don't want to hear, at least we got there. Oh, next year. Oh, you know what? We didn't. No, I don't want to hear it. Win. This is it. That's the slogan. If not now, when? No. This is it. That's the slogan. That's the shirt. Make shirts now. This is it.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
So we move on to the NBA draft lottery. It is set. The Wizards will have the number one pick, followed by the Jazz, Grizzlies, Bulls, and Clippers. Indiana got fucked on that one. So if you were fixing the NBA draft, isn't this how you would wanted the draft order to go? Come on, be honest.
I'm glad Kevin Pritchard got that center that he so desperately needed. He could have the number five pick in this draft.
Come out and defend it.
He kicked the shit.
He came out and was like, guys, you know, we were trying to do something here. At the end of the day, we got a center. That's what we really needed at the time. It was like, Kevin, you fucked this up.
Yes. Yes. And then Tyrese Halliburton's leg exploded. And all bunch of shit. And everything changed. So I'm glad. I hope it was worth it. What was it, Zubac? I'm glad that you got him. I hope it was worth it for you. But yeah, you just gift wrapped the Clippers a top five pick. Good
and
job,
you would assume, Z, that they will now trade Kawhi, right?
They should.
Trade Kawhi for more draft picks, right? And this is your chance to really start over, right?
Yeah. What would be interesting to me...
You already got Garland.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I would... If I'm the Mavs, I'm intrigued by that. I would call and see if they would move him to me. Because then you have Flag, Clay, Kawhi. It's not bad.
It's interesting that the team that trades for Anthony Davis happens to get the first number one overall pick.
That is interesting. And I said, congratulations to DeBanta. And what was your response? That he may not go number one. I don't know. He may decide to go back to school. He may go Dante Moore on this. I'm not going to play for the Wizards. The New York Jets of the NBA.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I think the Jazz should really just have a real serious conversation with the Wizards. Yeah. Just be real with them. Be like, guys, listen. He's a Utah kid. Come on.
Let us have. Take Cam Brewster.
Take this kid and you're going to bring him here. Wow. Come on. No. If you want, take the kid from North Carolina, who's a very good player, who could play very well with Trae Young and Anthony Davis. Don't take the band. I'm serious. If I was the Jazz, I'd have them come out. I'd take care of them. Be like, guys, come on. That's just, we're not going to train with you. But
I'm intrigued.
Let's just
by
be
what,
real on this.
I'm intrigued by what the Grizzlies are going to do, to be perfectly honest with you, because they need to move on from Ja. Who are you going to get there? Are you going to get the kid from Kansas? What is your move there? I mean, you figure best player available, that could be Boozer. It could be a situation where DeBanta ends up there.
No way is he going to fall. There's no way he's
if somebody takes Utah. If one of them takes Patterson, if one of them takes Patterson, the other one takes Boozer, Peterson.
There's no way the Jazz are not going to take DeBanta. There's no way. That's their guy.
But I don't know.
But the only thing you could see, right? You could see them taking Boozer because his father played there.
Carlos Boozer did play there, so it's definitely possible. It's hard to say that 2 years in a row that this kind of happened, where you acquire Anthony Davis and then you acquire the number one pick. That's very coincidental, wouldn't you say? Oh yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It seems like who's going to get him next year? It seems very odd to me.
I'm just saying, if you were fixing the NBA draft, this is how you would do it, right? You'd want Washington to get the number one pick.
Yeah, but it doesn't make them any better. Because Trae Young is Trae Young. He is who he is. Anthony Davis is going to play, 40 games next year? Maybe? If that? Washington is where careers will die, dude.
But the Wizards haven't been relevant for so long that if you put one of these guys there, any of the top four guys there, they're going to be relevant. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win 40 games. They're going to be in the play-in. You could put it on paper now. Okay, play-in. Wizards will be in the play-in.
Okay, I'll give you play-in. But how long is that going to take? 1 year? You're saying it's a 1 year turnaround?
Yeah.
I don't know.
With any of the top four guys, they're gonna win 40 games. They're going to win 40 games.
That's very optimistic. That's very,
this is
very,
very real. What's real? Because I'm under the impression that they're going to take DiBanza, which is like Kevin Durant type talent. He's going to be all over that damn basketball court. He's got to guard.
He's
going
to have to be.
Trey Young plays. Whether you like Trey Young and you don't like him, he plays. And he can score. And then whatever you get from Anthony Davis is gravy. Like, if he plays 20 games, all right. He plays 30 games, whatever. But you're gonna have an explosive player. Like, DeBanza's explosive. Did you watch him play in the NCAA tournament? They had no fucking answer for him.
He's playing against grown-ass men now. He's playing against grown-ass men now.
Yeah.
We've seen that, though.
Grown-ass men. He's a big dude.
He is. And we've seen big guys fail in the NBA, too. So we can't just say it's 100% guaranteed that he's going to be good. But he will be good.
True.
There's
I
no guarantee
like
he's going to be great.
Like, no, I think his comp is like T-Mac. I think it's a fair comp for him.
And you know what? Until T-Mac got hurt, that's a friggin' all-world comparison. But when you look at it, you know, there are no guarantees, man. And that's the thing. Like, the Wizards went all in on this, and there are no guarantees. Like, a healthy Trae Young only took the Hawks so far. You know, there's no such thing as a healthy Anthony Davis. It's like an albino tiger in the
wild,
man.
Here's what I can guarantee. I can guarantee he's not going to be, Anthony Bennett?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like,
yeah.
I can guarantee he's not going to be that other kid, the one that the Sixers drafted who can't shoot.
Markelle Fultz.
He's not going to be Markelle Fultz. I think he has a chance to average 18-6. And he could even do more than that. Like, I think he's going to be better than Wiggins.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I think he's going to be better than Barnes. I think he's going to be a decent player. But it's so fugazi-fugazi. It's just so odd how this came about. Like, this draft order. Come on. Really?
It's a woozy. It's a wazzy.
And then the Clippers get 5?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, 100%. And then look who rounds out the top 10. The Mavs at 9, the Bucks at 10. Interesting.
We never really talked about the new rules for the draft, but what if they just flatten the odds? Just flatten the odds. You know, top 5, top 8, top whatever. Just flatten it. Then it doesn't matter. You can lose all the games you want. It doesn't... The bottom 10 teams all have the same amount of odds to get the number one pick.
That makes the most sense.
Where there's no incentive to win here. There's no incentive to lose. Just go and play the fucking basketball game. Right?
The only thing that would make it even less incentivized to tank is if the champion also gets the number one pick. Like, that's the only, you know, that would incentivize, that would be the ultimate in incentive for every team to play hard every night. It's like, ah, shit. We have to win the whole fucking thing in order to get the next best player. Like, that's really the only way that you can totally disincentivize tanking. And because it's baked into the cake that is the NBA, man. It's been going on for so long that there really is no choice. I mean, look by comparison. Let's look at the NHL. The Maple Leafs won this year's draft lottery. You can't say they were tanking, right? They were just bad. They weren't actively trying to set the record for losses. The Toronto Maple Leafs. No.
Well, they lost their best player, and they just fired their coach.
Yeah. Well, they still had Austin Matthews. But Austin Matthews is their best player. So you lost. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They were still trying. Like, they weren't trying to be bad. Like, the NBA teams go actively out of their way to try and be as bad as they possibly can fucking be. You don't need to do that. You can just...
The 76ers, all this time, all just to be swept away. Over $200 million into Embiid and Paul George.
and
for
now
a fucking sweep. Didn't even get a game.
And now there's an article on ESPN saying how Embiid is going to be difficult to trade. Well, no shit, he's going to be difficult to trade.
They should have traded him 5 years ago.
Exactly.
They should have traded him 5 years ago. There was a time when I think you could have even traded him to the Knicks at one point.
Yeah.
When they were shopping around for a player, that was your time. But they were still so stuck on him being part of the process. And I've been saying on the show for years, he falls on the ground too much. For a fucking 7 foot guy, he's always on the fucking floor. Get up. Same thing with Carl Anthony Towns. You ever see Hakeem Olajuwon hit the ground? You ever see David Robinson hit the ground? I never saw those guys fall. These guys are always on the fucking floor. Get the fuck up. Get down court. Get back on defense. Stop laying down.
You were hitting the nail on the head. If we go back in the time machine, if we go, get the DeLorean and pull it back to 88 miles an hour, we can go to that moment when they tanked for fucking Embiid and Simmons and Fultz and Nerlens Noel. Let's not forget they wanted Nerlens Noel first. This is... blame the 76ers for the state of the fucking NBA right now.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
Well, a team that's looking like a start of a dynasty, perhaps, are the Carolina Hurricanes, who are just straight up slapping people in the NHL playoffs. They swept the Flyers in the most recent round of the playoffs, and they swept the Senators at the end of April. They have yet to lose, and now they await the winner of the Habs and the Sabres. Do either of those teams stand a chance against the Carolina Hurricanes?
I mean, the Sabres are young and hungry and talented, but they're getting their goals, they're getting their assists from the lower end guys. So once their top players show up, the Buffalo Sabres are going to be humming. The Habs are interesting. The Montreal Canadiens are interesting. You have Suzuki, you have Caulfield, you have some talent on that team. Still pretty young, and they're exciting. The Montreal Canadiens are exciting to watch, as are the Buffalo Sabres. That being said, it feels like a perfect storm. No pun intended. The Rangers aren't there. The Rangers have been the bugaboo for the Carolina Hurricanes. It doesn't feel like a war of attrition, which is typical of Carolina hockey. The past, 5 years? It feels like they're just getting picked off and they're getting, run into the ground. Not this time. All right? Logan Stankoven, 7 goals. I'm sure the Dallas Stars want that one back. I'm sure they would rather have Stankoven than Mikko Rantanen. But whatever. Taylor Hall with 9 assists. You're getting contributions from Jackson Blake. You're getting contributions, from Seth Jarvis and friggin' even Jordan Staal. Jordan Staal, still in the league, playing well, playing hard. It's a deep team. It's a talented team. And as always, Rod Brind'Amour has his guys ready to play. And if Anderson can keep his shit together, there's no reason why they're not in the cup final. Because I'm not going to say win the cup, because there's a team from Colorado that is going to be ready to maul their ass in the Stanley Cup final. I want to see that. I want to see Avalanche Hurricanes, the battle of the natural disasters. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. That's going to be the heavyweight fight. But they got to get there first. And it'll be tough. It'll be tougher than what they faced. It'll be tougher than Philly. It'll be tougher than Ottawa. These teams are better. So, and by better, I mean they'll win in 6. Or they'll win in 5, as opposed to the sweep. But Carolina is humming on all cylinders, and everybody better be taking notice at this point.
Yeah, so it's just amazing the physicality they're playing with. They're flying up and down the ice. They just seem to be all playing on the same page. They're playing as, I mean, again, I agree with you. I think I would love to see the Avalanche play them, and I agree with you that the Avalanche will probably beat them. But to me, those are the two teams right now that are playing like a team.
Yeah,
they all seem to be on the same page. Like when they're on the power play, like they understand the importance of it. Their passes are clean. They're crisp. When they are down a guy, they're getting rid of the puck. They're working as a team. Like you said, Anderson, I don't know where this version of Anderson's been for a while, he seems to be like the goaltender that everyone had thought he was for all these years. It's just unbelievable to watch, and you're like, oh, but you know, who'd they beat? Oh no, they beat some really good teams. Okay. They didn't just the Flyers was the true test where we're like, okay, yeah, you got past the first round, but it's like, well, no, this Flyer team we're one of the best teams in the league, and just slap, 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 slap. Next That's round. Cute. Thank you. Can I have another?
That was,
yeah. It's just like the Senators, okay, we could argue. It was like, okay, you beat the Senators. That's nothing. But you beat the Flyers, swept them, couldn't even get a game on you? Yeah, you're for real.
Yeah, you're absolutely for real. And they're playing from top to bottom like they're a well-oiled machine. And this is a team that let Brett Pesce go. They let one of their best defenders leave in free agency. He went to the Devils. So they replaced him with Keandre Miller. And all of a sudden, Keandre Miller looks like a competent hockey player. So it's one of those things that's very interesting. Rod Brind'Amour brings out the best in his team. Now
he does.
You're going up against Marty St. Louis. You're going to go up against Lindy Ruff. You're going to have a formidable matchup with another coach. And can Rod Brind'Amour avoid the trappings of seasons past, which is right, where you get into that grind of a series, and now all of a sudden you may win, but now you got the shit beat out of you. Like, that used to be Hurricane hockey. And we saw that for the past couple of years when they've gone up against the Rangers, where it was just grind it down, where every inch, every millimeter was a dogfight. And now, this is the best they've ever been. And that makes them very dangerous. Even more dangerous than usual. But I fear that something is waiting for them on the other side when they're waiting. And the first true test is going to be in the Stanley Cup Final. Because you saw what the Avalanche did to the Wild. And the Wild are a damn good team.
Damn good. I was going to pick the Wild to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And then once I saw the first couple of games of this series, I was like, all right. No, I'm going to keep the money in my pocket.
Oh, shit. 9-6 in the first game. You know that you knew that was going to be a good time right there. 9-6 in a hockey game. Jesus fucking Christ.
Again, damn good team, the Wild. Damn good team.
Yeah. But nobody's on the Avalanche level right now. Maybe the Hurricanes. We're going to find out. But
there's no.
Yeah.
We'll see.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
But ending on a rather somber note, we want to acknowledge the passing of Bobby Cox at the age of 84 years old. Bobby Cox played for the Yankees for 2 years, managed the Blue Jays, and had two stints with the Braves, with the second go-round going for about 20 years. With the Braves, he won a World Series title in 95 and won consecutive division titles for 14 years. As the resident Brave fan, what will you remember about Bobby Cox?
Yeah, I mean, the best part about Bobby Cox was you just knew his teams were going to be ready to play. You knew that, you know, you can just stamp them for October. You knew that they were going to win the division. You knew that they were going to trot out their Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin. You knew that he was going to put his lineup together. He wasn't going to bat his best player second. You know, he's going to have a traditional lineup. And he was going to be on that umpire's ass. And if that meant he was going to get thrown out, he was going to get thrown out. I think all the players, whoever played for him, would say they love playing for Bobby Cox. And it's like Bobby Cox and Leo Mazzoni is what I remember seeing in the dugout, sitting right next to each other during games. So I'm just going to remember the happiness he brought me as a Braves fan. I mean, they only won one World Series. But, I mean, they were in it every year. They were in it every single year. All the way up until, you know, probably the last couple of years he was there where they just, you know, they just really weren't playing good. But just great memories. You know, it didn't have this whole thing where I had like four or five coaches, you know, come and go and, you know, people beefing with the manager. And, you know, for the most part, he took care of it. Like, I don't think players really got thrown out of games much. He did.
Yeah.
He was going to go to bat for his players. I hated how he liked pitching guys on 3 days rest. I hated that because that, I believe, cost us 2 championships. But other than that, good memories of Bobby Cox.
As a non-Braves fan, you remember when he goes ape shit and gets thrown out of the game. Like that's what you remember about Bobby Cox. Very good manager, but you got to say, I mean, that team was just loaded. You know, it from Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, Avery, Nagel, you know, later on Hudson, like you were freaking loaded, right? So being able to manage all of that, all the personalities, because at one point you had guys like Gary Sheffield there, you had Javi Lopez there, you had Chipper Jones there, you had John Rocker, like fucking psycho ass John Rocker. Hey, John, you going to say something stupid today? You going to say something racist today? Just give me a heads up so I can talk, so I can deflect. Just let me know.
What the hell is the matter with you?
What the fuck is wrong with you? But, you know, managing is not so much with X's and O's. Yes, X's and O's are important. I was in a sports management class way back when I was getting my bachelor's in sport and exercise science. And it was like, it's not about the X's and O's. It's the Jimmies and the Joes, as Coach Shulman once said. And it's true. You have to navigate the clubhouse. You have to navigate the dugout. You have to navigate all these personalities that may not necessarily all be on the same page. And you noticed that too with Torrey when he got to the Yankees. He went from Clueless Joe to a fucking genius because it's about personalities. It's about managing ego. Respect. 100%. You think Javi Lopez wanted to come out because Eddie Perez was Greg Maddux's personal catcher? No. Javi Lopez probably took that as a shot to the dick. But no. It's like, do you want to win? If the answer is yes, get to the side. Let Eddie catch. Let Charlie O'Brien catch for one day a week. Rest your knees. You'll get an at bat. You know, you had, and he did a lot with lesser players too. Like Marcus Giles was good. He wasn't a great player. Turned him into a multi-time All-Star. Like you had guys that went through Atlanta that all of a sudden found it. And that was very interesting. And that's a product of coaching. That's a product of guys like Bobby Cox and Leo Mazzoni and Brian Snitker and all the guys that were there, right? But it stems from the top. As the manager, you put these guys in place. It's not like today where the GM gives you your coaching staff. There was no quality control coach. There was no offensive game plan coach. It was like four dudes in the dugout. Let's go. You had your bench coach, your base coaches, and Bobby Cox. Like, that was it. Leo Mazzoni.
Ned Yost.
Ned Yost at third. Yes, Ned Yost was at third. And think about the managerial tree. You had Snitker. You had Ned Yost. Walt Weiss. Freddy Gonzalez, I believe, was also
Freddy on Gonzalez.
Yeah. Freddy Gonzalez. Yeah. But you had major league managers that stemmed from the Bobby Cox coaching tree. Leo Mazzoni. He was the manager for the Orioles. As ill-conceived as that was. But he did it. So there's a legacy that Bobby Cox will leave behind. And it's one of consistency. It's one of excellence. Now, yes, they only won one in a strike-shortened season. But they were close multiple times, right? They lost to the Blue Jays. They lost to the Twins. There were opportunities. They lost to the Yankees twice. Right? They were there. There was opportunities that if one thing just went the other way, you would have had multiple championships in that reign. But you need to get there. And Bobby Cox was excellent at navigating the season, navigating the postseason in order to get his team where he needs to be. So, rest in peace, Bobby. Earl Weaver's waiting for you. Just go, argue, have fun, and we'll see you on the other side.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
The Wheel Route.
All right, boys and girls, it is time for the Wheel Route. We have topics on our wheel. We're going to give it a spin. And whatever it lands on, that's what we're going to talk about. So, who knows? We shall see. D, are you ready?
Ready.
All right. All right. Fernando Tatis's start to the season. End game.
245, zero home runs, 8 years left on that deal. He seemed to start going down after his PED suspension. You had a situation where he hit like 42 bombs, then 25, then 21, and then last year he only hit 25. So, gee, I wonder what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. So, not saying, just saying. And they moved him to second base, too. So, it's one of those things.
I didn't even know that.
They did. They did. At least for a brief stint, he was playing second base. So, you do get tired of seeing him overrun a ball and having him run to the warning track to retrieve the ball that he should have just secured if he kept the glove down. But you're looking at, he did raise his average to 252. So there's that. Good job, Fernando. But, there's no power. There's absolutely no power coming from him. And if you're the Padres, you need to be concerned. He has 42 strikeouts. He has 38 hits in total. Like, that is a problem. That's a major goddamn problem if you are the Padres. So what do you do with him? And how eager are you to get out from under this contract? Like, what are you willing to do? Are you going to ride it out and hope for the best? Or are you going to take 10 cents on the dollar because dude ain't hitting any home runs? So, The Padres are kind of stuck right now. I mean, they do have a new owner, so that may dictate how things go. But it is a quizzical start to the year. He has had shoulder surgery. He has had an issue with his hands. He's had a myriad of injuries. But it's funny, after the PED suspension, right? All these nagging injuries. Why do baseball players take PEDs? Not just to enhance their own performance, but to enhance their recovery from injuries. So it's one of those things that might have been masked previously by the use of PEDs. But watch this space, and we're going to see what happens to him. It wouldn't surprise me if a certain team in New York, if a certain team in the Bronx didn't call and at least kick the tires on bringing in Fernando Tatis Jr. But we shall see. All right, big money. Here we go. The Edmonton Oilers firing head coach Chris Knobloch.
Yeah, just blow it up. Blow it all. It's not working. You're not winning. You're not winning. So blow it all up. Send Connor McDavid to the Rangers. Send Leon Draisaitl to the Ducks. Like, just blow that shit up. It ain't going to get better. It's just going to get worse. Kind of like the whole Boston thing. But Boston did actually win. But, yeah, I blow that shit up.
We talked about
the manager's fault they lost. I don't
know. No. No, it's not. And, you know, they thought they were goalie away. They thought Stuart Skinner was the impediment to their success. So they dealt his ass for Tristan Jarry. And, yeah, that didn't work out very well now, did it? Tristan Jarry isn't that great of a goaltender. Who knew? Everybody in Pittsburgh could have told you that.
Who knew?
So who knew? Everybody in Pittsburgh probably could have told you that. You know, the only reason he's playing is that Matt Murray just forgot how to play hockey. So, I wouldn't say it's on Knobloch's fault. I mean, he got them to two consecutive Stanley Cup finals, right? Yes, McDavid was there. Yes, Draisaitl was there. Evan Bouchard was there. You had, you know, Zach Hyman. You had players there. The window's closed. Just like the window slammed shut on the Panthers this year, the window slammed shut on Edmonton. And it was an outside possibility. There was a slim chance that Edmonton could have made a run. But losing Draisaitl for all that time didn't help at all. And, you know, they just got worked by Rangers West. So I think the best thing you could do is deal off Bouchard. Deal off McDavid, deal off Draisaitl. One of those trades revamps your entire team already. If you do all of it, you're talking about a full reset. And Edmonton has been up against it for a while, and I think the full reset might be the way to go because the team's not getting any younger. And they were in if not now when mode. Now the question is who would make these trades, right? You figure, I mean, the Rangers are always linked to high priced talent, but are they willing? Is Drury willing to make that move, right? Is he willing to say, you know, Gabe Perreault, pack your bags, you're going to Edmonton. Will Cooley, see you later. It's been real. You know, I don't know if Chris Drury is willing to stomach that. Jim Dolan will do it in a heartbeat. Like, Connor McDavid's a star. Get me that man. Sure. But it's going to be costly. And I don't know if the Rangers are, at this point, I don't know if they're willing to make that move. Maybe the Oilers can work something out with the Kings again. A little Gretzky 2.0. Because the Kings just lost Andrei Kopitar. He just retired. Their best player just retired. So maybe there's something there. You have extended Panarin. So now you have McDavid and Panarin. That sounds good. That's a good start. Or Draisaitl and Panarin. That sounds good too. Like, either way, I think the Kings would be in the market. A team like Nashville, like, you always figure Nashville's kind of always like, hovering around this. They tried to reload in free agency. It didn't really work that well. What the fucking Islanders? Like, Jesus. Who expected the Islanders to be, of the three Metro teams, who expected them to be in the playoffs? Right? They were the closest. Rangers and Devils weren't. Islanders were closest. They just edged out at the end. Any of those players takes you over the top. So if you think you're close, maybe you make a move. But two teams we know for sure that are going nowhere fast, the Maple Leafs and the Oilers. All right, let's see what we got here. One more. Huh? What happened? I got a respin. Wait a second. No. What happened? Let's try that again. There it is. Wheel busted. Oh, now it's out of control. Wait a minute. It won't stop. Okay, we got it.
It's angry.
Super Bowl rematch, week one. Patriots Seahawks.
Garbage. Don't want to see it again. I saw it. I don't need to see it again. And even if I need to see it again, I don't want that to be the first fucking game I watch. Like, why the fuck would we want to watch that dog shit again? And the other thing is, did anybody think we're putting Mike Vrabel right on the spot from Jump Street? Did anybody think this shit through? Like, what the fuck, guys? They don't have they dumped Kenneth Walker. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Stupid.
In the context of what just happened with the whole Diana Rossini, Mike Vrabel thing, it's in poor taste to put them back out there. The only thing that would make this more interesting if Diana Rossini was doing the opening coin
covering it.
Yes.
Sideline reporter. You gotta be the sideline reporter for the team.
Covering the whole thing from soup to fucking nuts. But, I mean, I don't mind it as a tradition. Like, if this was a tradition and not a ratings grab, okay. Like, I could see that. Like, if this was something that was already established, sure. But there really is no reason for these teams to play week one, right? It's not a big division rivalry. It's not, there's nothing there. And to your point, we just saw this.
They have no history. They have no history against each other. Like,
they don't. And it's even now. You had the Malcolm Butler play, and then you had the ass whooping. It's over. It's over, Johnny.
It's over.
It's over, Johnny. We don't need to see it again. Like, you're absolutely right. But I think somebody got in Raj's ear and said, you know what would be cool, Raj? If we kept this going, if we had this little spicy reality drama, and maybe we have Rossini's husband go out there with a chair, I'm gonna fight you. Raj, hear me out. Where are you going? Where are you going? Come back. But it's spicy for all the wrong reasons. It's intriguing for all the wrong reasons. And it's so ridiculous. You have so many better games. And I'm not even saying, like, okay, put Giants Cowboys. No, I'm not saying put Giants Cowboys, but there had to be some other matchup that you could put there.
My opinion would have been 49ers Seahawks. Like, open up with a division opponent.
Division rival. Yeah, give me a division rival. I agree with that. I think that would be a good option. But we're really just playing to the, you know, the tabloids at this point. We're just playing to the TMZ of the NFL. Funny, but not necessarily the best choice.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. FCKCloud.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of this week's vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy, D?
I don't.
The Edmonton Oilers. Well, there you go. You got your ass trophy and you fired Chris Knobloch. So there's that. Congratulations, Edmonton. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got a lot of baseball players this week that are really just crushing it.
Let's go.
First up, I've got Fernando Tatis Jr. Over a month into the season and with 8 years left on your studded contract, you were batting .245. With zero home runs. You have 38 hits and 42 strikeouts. You're crushing it.
He's crushing
Fernando
something.
Tatis Jr., you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got Kyle Raleigh. He was given MVP considerations last season. He finally got a hit yesterday or a couple days ago after going 0 for 38.
Ooh.
And now he's on the injured list. And he's batting under 200. Kyle Raleigh, you're really ripping it up. And the guy who I tried to trade for because he needed a catcher in my fantasy league, you should have took the trade offer I gave you because now you don't have a catcher. Kyle Raleigh, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, Corey Seager. Mr. Shortstop, Mr. MVP, is currently in an 0 for 27 slump. You're really crushing it out there. Corey Seager, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, those are really good choices. Cal Raleigh, like, he has had a fucking year, man. After last year.
That's when he gets for talking shit to Rosarena during the World Baseball Classic. Your teammate comes up to you and tries to wish you good luck for a game and wish you good sportsmanship. Don't be a douchebag. This is what happens when you're a douchebag.
Well, you go in the toilet. You go in the dumps, if you will. He tried to fix it by showering in his uniform. Got a hit.
I heard that. Like, got a hit. Now he's on the injured list.
And now he's on the IL. So, good for you, buddy. Good for you. I got to start with Real Madrid. What the fuck is going on there? You got Valverde and Tchouaméni squaring up in the friggin' locker room, beating the shit out of each other before El Clasico. That will decide the La Liga championship. You got the drama with Kylian Mbappe. Will he play? Will he not play? Oh, I'm going to play. Guess what? Breaking news. He did not play. And then Barca goes and whoops their ass. So complete and total utter dysfunction at Real Madrid right now. But Don't worry, they're going to bring in Jose Mourinho. That'll fix everything. Sure. That's a great idea. Bring in Jose Mourinho. He's the match to that powder keg. Real Madrid, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the entire city of Philadelphia. Ooh. Flyers get swept.
Oh, you're coming at them, man.
Sixers get swept. Ooh. Ooh. Not a good week. Not a good week. Go have a hoogie and some water and just chill and watch the Phillies. Downey Baseball, the gift that keeps on giving from the New York Yankees. You're welcome. I think the Yankees would probably rather have Don Mattingly than the schmuck that's in their lock, in their dugout right now. But that's neither here nor there. The city of Philadelphia, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I gotta go with the Edmonton Oilers trying to go for the two in a row. Firing Chris Knobloch after getting you to the Stanley Cup Finals in two consecutive seasons and getting you to the playoffs this year. Yes, you got ousted by Rangers West, but you were also without Leon Draisaitl. You still don't have a goalie. Tristan Jarry is not Stuart Skinner, and Stuart Skinner was better than Tristan Jarry, apparently. Evan Bouchard, still really a good offensive defenseman, but that's it. And Leon Draisaitl barely played this year. So, naturally, it's Chris Knobloch's fault. Huh? Edmonton Oilers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.